Listening Library presents All My Rage by Saba Tahir. Read for you by Deepti Gupta, Kamran R. Khan, and Kausar Muhammad.
For those who survive, for those who do not. Dear listener, please be aware that All My Rage contains content that may be triggering. If you wish to skip the content warning, please move to the next chapter. All My Rage includes the following content: drug and alcohol addiction, physical abuse, Islamophobia, mentions of repressed sexual assault, tense exchange with law enforcement, and death. Part 1. The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seem filled with the intent to be lost, that their loss is no disaster. Elizabeth Bishop, One Art.
Chapter 1. Misbah. June, then. Lahore, Pakistan. The clouds over Lahore were purple as a gossip's tongue the day my mother told me I would wed. After she delivered the news, I found my father on the veranda. He sipped a cup of tea and surveyed the storm looming above the kite-spattered skyline. Change her mind, I wanted to scream. Tell her I'm not ready. Instead, I stood at his side, a child again, waiting for him to take care of me. I did not have to speak. My father looked at me, and he knew. Come now, little butterfly. He turned his moth-brown eyes to mine and patted my shoulder. You are strong like me. You will make the best of it. And at last, you will be free of your mother. He smiled, only half joking. The monsoon rain swept over Lahore a few minutes later, sending chickens and children squawking for cover, drenching the cement floor of our home. I bent my head to the ground in prayer regardless. Let my future husband be gentle, I thought, remembering the bruises on my cousin Amna, who married a light-haired English businessman against her parents' wishes. Let him be a good man. I was 18, full of fear. I should have prayed instead for a man unbroken.
Chapter 2. Cell. February. No. Juniper, California. It's 6:37 a.m. and my father doesn't want me to know how drunk he is. Cell? Are you listening? He calls me Sal instead of Salahuddin, so I don't hear the slur in his words. Hangs onto our Civic steering wheel like it's going to steal his wallet and bolt. In the ink-black morning, all I see of Abu's eyes are his glasses. The taillights of traffic going into school reflect off the thick square lenses. He's had them so long that they're hipster now. A Mojave Desert howler shakes the car. One of those three-day winds that rampage through your skin and colonize your ventricles. I hunched deep in my fleece, breath clouding. I will be there, Abu says. Don't worry. Okay, Sal? My nickname on his lips is all wrong. It's like by saying it, he's trying to make me feel like he's a friend, instead of a mess masquerading as my father. If Amma were here, she would clear her throat and enunciate, Salahuddin. The precise pronunciation, a gentle reminder that she named me for the famous Muslim general and I better not forget it. You said you'd go to the last appointment too, I tell Abu. Dr. Rothman called last night to remind me, Abu says. You don't have to come if you have the writing club or soccer. Soccer season's over. And I quit the newspaper last semester. I'll be at the appointment. Amma's not taking care of herself, and someone needs to tell Dr. Rothman, preferably in a coherent sentence. I watched the words hit him, sharp little stones. Abu guides the car to the curb in front of Juniper High. A bleached blonde head buried in a parka materializes from the shadows of Seahole. Ashley. She saunters past the flagpole, through the crowds of students, and toward the Civic. The pale stretch of her legs is courageous for the 20-degree weather. Also distracting. Ashley is close enough to the car that I can see her purple nail polish. Abu hasn't spotted her. He and Emma never said I can't have a girlfriend. But in the same way that giraffes are born knowing how to run, I was born with the innate understanding that having a girlfriend while still living with my parents is verboten. Abu digs his fingers into his eyes. His glasses have carved a shiny red dent on his nose. He slept in them last night on the recliner. Amma was too tired to notice. Or she didn't want to notice. Buttar? Son. Ashley knocks on the window. Her parka is unzipped enough to show the insubstantial Welcome to Tatooine shirt beneath. She must be freezing. 2 years ago, Abu's eyebrows would have been in his hair. He'd have said, "Who is this, Buttar?" His silence feels more brutal, like glass shattering in my head. "How will you get to the hospital?" Abu asks. "Should I pick you up?" "Just get Amma there," I say. "I'll find a ride." "Okay, but text me if..." "My cell's not working." "Because you actually have to pay the phone company, Abu. The one thing he's in charge of and still can't do." It's usually Amma hunched over stacks of bills, asking the electric company, the hospital, the cable company if we can pay in installments. Muttering, "Ullu de patte." Sons of owls, when they say no. I lean toward him, take a shallow sniff, and almost gag. It's like he took a bath in Old Crow and then threw on some more as aftershave. "I'll see you there at 3, I say. "Take a shower before she wakes up. She'll smell it on you." Neither of us says that it doesn't matter. That even if Amma smells the liquor, she would never say anything about it. Before Abu responds, I'm out, grabbing my tattered journal from where it fell out of my back pocket. Slamming the car door, eyes watering from the cold. Ashley tucks herself under my arm. Breathe. 5 seconds in, 7 seconds out. If she feels my body tense up, she doesn't let on. "Warm me up." Ashley pulls me down for a kiss, and the ash of her morning cigarette fills my nostrils. 5 seconds in, 7 seconds out. Cars honk. A door thuds nearby, and for a moment, I think it is Abu. I think I will feel the weight of his disapproval. "Have some tamiz, Buttar." I see it in my head. I wish for it. But when I break from Ashley, the Civic's blinker is on, and he's pulling into traffic. If Noor was here instead of Ashley, she'd have side-eyed me and handed me her phone. Not everyone has a dad jerk. Call him and eat crow. Awk, awk. She's not here, though. Noor and I haven't spoken for months. Ashley steers me toward campus and launches into a story about her 2-year-old daughter, Kaya. Her words swim into each other, and there's a glassiness to her eyes that reminds me of Abu at the end of a long day. I pull away. I met Ashley junior year, after Amma got sick and I dropped most of my honors classes for regular curriculum. Last fall, after the fight between Noor and me, I spent a lot of time alone. I could have hung out with the guys on my soccer team, but I hated how many of them threw around words like raghead and bitch and apu. Ashley had just broken up with her girlfriend and started coming to my games, waiting for me in her old black Mustang with its primered hood. We'd shoot the shit. One day, to my surprise, she asked me out. I knew it would be a disaster. But at least it would be a disaster I chose. She calls me her boyfriend, even though we've only been together 2 months. It took me 3 weeks to even work up the nerve to kiss her. But when she's not high, we laugh and talk about Star Wars or Saga or this show, Crown of Fates, we both love. I don't think about Amma so much. or the motel.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?